This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Support us, Lord, all the day long, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, the busy world is hushed, the fever of life is over, and our work done. Then, Lord, in your mercy, give us safe lodging, a holy rest, and peace at the last. Amen. One of my favorite prayers attributed to John Henry Cardinal Newman. I had the privilege of being able to go home with Dee to St. Louis to see my family and especially my mother, and I thank you for your prayers for her. And she does as well, and she is doing great, I am happy to report. She went out to dinner with us about 3 times, and from the food she put away, she's doing okay. I also had the opportunity to spend some time with the family, which includes my nephew Ryan, whom you all have been praying for, along with his wife Michelle and their 3 kids. And I am happy to report that Ryan has now received clearance from the doctors to resume even driving, that the baseball-sized tumor after 2 8-hour brain surgeries has pretty well taken care of everything, and to see Ryan running around the basketball court chasing his 3 kids, you would never know that this man had to deal with what he went through only a few months ago. So praise God for the healing. Watching Michelle and Ryan try to keep up with Jane, Alex, and Evan, who are 3, shall we say, very active, wonderful kids, was amazing. But it reminded me of a story someone had told me of a young mother with a very active young boy who liked to play games with the mother, and it was tiring the mother out. The boy liked to play cops and robbers, and so he'd pretend he had a gun, and he'd say, "Mommy, bang, bang, you're dead." And Mommy fell down on the floor and stayed there for such a long time that one of the neighbors came over to make sure that she was okay. And when the neighbor got close to her, she said, "Shh, don't blow my cover. This is the only rest I get." "Come unto me, you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest." Wow. What great words, comforting words that Jesus gives us today. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, in those times in our lives when we are weary and are finding life burdensome, what are we going to do? Well, I think the first thing that we have to do is ask ourselves, what am I doing? Jesus tells us to take his yoke upon us. It was common in those days when you were following a particular rabbi, the expression was you would take upon yourself the yoke of that rabbi. Meaning metaphorically that everything that that rabbi was teaching, you were adopting into your life. Whatever the rabbi said, you did. Whatever the rabbi said not to do, you didn't do. So that metaphorical yoke was the way that you knew you were following the rabbi. So, perhaps the first thing when we are finding life burdensome, when we are weary, maybe we need to ask ourselves, am I truly following, am I truly putting on the yoke of the rabbi? Am I doing in my life everything Jesus tells me to do and not doing the things that Jesus tells me not to do? And perhaps at times, as we spoke last week, there's a little recalculating we need to do to get ourselves back on track. And once we do that, perhaps we will find that rest and inner peace. But then again, there are those times where it just doesn't work, that I'm doing everything I humanly and heavenly can possibly do, and I am just not finding that peace, that inner peace, the rest that he is talking about today. And then it becomes a question, perhaps, that we need to ask ourselves of the motivation, the why of what we are doing. There's that great story that's told of a comparison of this old army image where they don't know what to do with the soldiers, so the lieutenant tells them to go over and dig this 6-foot hole, and as soon as they finish the hole, he says, now fill it back in, and then go over here, and he says, now dig a 6-foot hole there, and then they finish that, he says, now fill it back in, and so forth, and by the time they get to the 3rd or 4th hole, they've had enough of it. As soldiers, no motivation. But then the alternate metaphor with that is, somebody tells you that 6 feet underground there has been an avalanche and the person you love most in this life is buried down there. And suddenly the motivation to dig 6 feet down is incredibly moving. And we dig down as fast as we can. Both are awful, dreadful burdens, yet how different. What a different burden it would be to do the exact same thing, except this time to do it out of love, to do it for the one you love. Hard work, yes. A lot of sacrifices, yes. But doing it because of love is what makes all the difference in the world. When I see so many people doing so much behind the scenes, we celebrated yesterday the life of Windsor Lee. So much Windsor did behind the scenes. Even as he was in hospice on his deathbed, giving his wife Eloise instructions as to what she needed to do to get ready to feed the homeless at Holy Redeemer next month, because that's what Windsor did. Doing it out of love. Some time ago, we looked at our motivation here for why we do what we do. And perhaps as we're in the middle of summer now, and we sort of look at the responsibilities and the tasks and the ministries that we take on at this place, it's important for us to look at why we do what we do. And there is this old thing that we've printed in the bulletin before, but maybe we should relook at it today. Think of the ways you are involved, and we have to ask ourselves, is what I am doing a job or a ministry? If you're doing it just because no one else will, it's a job. If you're doing it to serve the Lord, it's a ministry. If you quit because somebody criticized you, it was just a job. But if you keep on serving, it's a ministry. If you'll do it only if it doesn't interfere with your other activities, it's a job. If you are committed to staying with it, even when it means letting go of other things, it's a ministry. If you quit because no one praised you or thanked you, it was a job. If you stay with it, even though nobody recognizes your efforts, it's a ministry. It's hard to get excited about a job. It's almost impossible not to be excited about a ministry. If our concern is success, it's a job. If our concern is faithfulness, it's a ministry. An average church is filled with people doing jobs. A great and growing church is filled with people involved in ministry. If God calls you to a ministry, don't treat it like a job. But if you find you have just a job, give it up and find a ministry. God does not want us feeling stuck with a job, but excited and faithful in a ministry. We have to ask ourselves the why once in a while of what we do, and why we do it. But then there is a third thing. We can be doing all that Jesus calls us to do to take on the yoke of a rabbi, and still we don't have the peace. We could find that, yes, it is a ministry, it is a job, my motivation is love, and I'm doing all that I can, and still I'm not finding that rest, that peace. Then there is that third possibility that he's talking about here. St. Paul talked about that, and that little tongue twister that Chris had to try to read today, that I find that there are things I want to do, and I'm doing the things I don't want to do, but there is that possibility there that then we come to a point where I just can't on my own get it right. And this is where even Alcoholics Anonymous teaches us something, that from the get-go, we get to a point in life at times where I find that on my own, I just cannot do it. I am powerless to get beyond this, whatever it is. And God can use that as the point where we surrender and we bring that burden to God. There is this old legend about the young Jesus when he was growing up under the apprenticeship of Joseph, teaching him to become a good carpenter, and he got a reputation in the legend for being able to make these yokes that farmers would come to get for their oxen, because Jesus did it in such a way that that yoke could be so comfortable, so well fitted for that animal. And that's what that really means, literally. My yoke is easy, my yoke is well fitted. And so Jesus would do this, and these oxen could outperform any other farmer's oxen around. And so these other yoke makers end up coming to Jesus to find out what's his secret, how does he do it so well. And as the story sort of goes, they find that when they see the yoke, it's a double yoke, because Jesus says, I never make somebody do it alone. I go right alongside with them. This is at times what we need to do. I know there are times in my own life, and I know from knowing your stories and yours as well, you've done all you possibly can, and yet life has thrown so much at you that you just say, I can't do it anymore. You have a relationship that's strained, and you have these extra grace required people in your life, and you just say to God, I cannot deal with one more interchange with that person, or a situation or a task that is just too overwhelming. And yet we bring that burden to God and say, I can't do this alone. I need you. And it's at that moment, like Paul talks, when miracles happen, when we can come to that point of surrendering to God and hear those wonderful words, take my yoke upon your shoulders, for I will give you rest. You will find rest for your soul. What a gift. May we look for it. May we surrender. May we find rest. Amen.